WiseGuys.com, LVRocks.com. Listen to The Wise Guy Show on the web from noon to 2 at LVRocks.com.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room.
And welcome back to another edition of Subject to Discussion live at LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. Once again, if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion time. Once again, on S2DRadio.com as well as on LVRocks.com. I almost renamed it. And the program is also podcasted. Thank you very much, everybody listening to the podcast. And of course, everybody listening to the program live. And those of you in the chat room, we have, that was the Centurion in charge of production, Mr. Consular. Thank you very much.
And
you're welcome. And we have Anorexic Pillows in the chat room. Chris1019, I don't know who that is. Giorgio, JDRMD is in the chat room. Lil Buck, NetRanger, myself, and Sushi Zero is in there. So we thank everybody for joining us. And the also, the website, of course, is s2dradio.com, and subject2discussion.com is the blog for the program. And tonight, after the actually, I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. Call me anything you want, just do not call me late for dinner. And tonight, after the Political News Digest, we welcome Joey, and he's a one-time candidate for Roswell City Council in Georgia, and a vice chair of the North Fulton Democrats, and founder of Centrist Democrats of America. And blogging, he blogs over at donkeydigest.com. And then in the second hour, we'll officially kick off the pop culture segment. We'll open up the second hour with the mad rocket scientist, Dr. NetRanger. And then at the end of the program, Koenig Rules will be along, the mad professor, and he will discuss with us the season premiere of Doctor Who and a little sneak peek of Battlestar Galactica, which comes back on Friday. And actually, last night, USA aired the story so far. So I thought that was it. It was pretty. It was a surprise. There's a donkey, and I happened to turn the channel at the home to USA. I'm like, what the hell is this? Galactica's on there, and then Heroes was on after it. So I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And it'd be a good idea if USA bought those shows and put them on the USA network instead of Sci-Fi to get more viewers. But oh well. And so before I get to that, I want to go through what was in the Las Vegas Review Journal and as well as the USA Today. And, of course, and then next week we're going to have Alan Stewart Carl, who will be on from maverickviews.blogspot.com. He was on about a year ago or so, and so he'll be back. And with this whole Republican Foley Zippergate scandal, to me, I think the GOP is like pigs being fattened up and about to be led to slaughter on Election Day. And then I found it interesting, his lawyer was on, they showed him on Lou Dobbs, and the Foley's lawyer was saying that Mark Foley checked into an alcohol rehab clinic. I said, what the hell? I said, you know, his problem is not with 16-year-old scotch, but with 16-year-old boys, you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, we had 12 more U.S. troops have been killed in 3 days in Iraq. Suicide bombings are at high levels despite the U.S. crackdown, and Iraqis are dying on an average of 3,000 a month. And today, 30 more bodies are found around Baghdad today with signs of torture. So, and then in the USA Today, they talk about the horrendous crime scene at that shooting in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Horrible. And what else? The Foley businesses on the left. And they talk about the baseball playoff. Oh, they talk about the playoffs preview. And it'd be interesting. And up in the right-hand corner, they give a little preview of Friday Night Lights, which is on actually right now, I believe. And then in the life section of the USA Today, they talk about the Katie Couric's CBS Evening News ratings. She slipped to number three despite her viewer bump. But she is still apparently leading the pack in the younger viewers' demo, which they like. And I talk about George Michael getting arrested again. And what else? About totally wireless on campus. That's a big thing now in college campuses. They have totally wireless for the students. And in the in the Las Vegas Review Journal, they talk about the Kathy Augustine. She was the comptroller here in Nevada, and her death is now mysterious. They found out her second husband shot her with a drug that causes paralysis in her. And now they're going to exhume her first husband's body because her second husband was the male nurse to her first husband. So now they're going to investigate, exhume his body and see if they find traces of the same drug in his remains. So interesting. And then Harrah's Corporation, whom I work for, they've gotten an offer of a buyout of $15 billion for the company. So we'll see what happens with that. And then before I get to the News Digest, I also have my weekly special comment. And President Bush and a campaign stop called the Democratic Party the party of FDR and Truman, and that is the party of FDR and Truman is now the party of cut and run. So I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to do that. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now the party of sex predator Republican Congressman Mark Foley. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now also the party of GOP leadership covering up the GOP Foley Zippergate. All to prevent harm to the GOP and its control of Congress, and to hell with the children involved. Speaker Hastert is the Warren Jeffs of the GOP Congress. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now the party of 3,000 flag-draped coffins we are not seeing return from Iraq. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now the party of no plan and 23,000 dead and wounded in Iraq. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now the party of involving themselves in a private family matter and exploiting the family tragedy of the Schiavo family in a veiled abortion battle and fundraising cause. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now the party of fiscal malfeasance with over $500 billion spent on Iraq and $9 billion having vanished without a trace. Also, the Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now a party of name-calling if you don't agree with their etch-and-sketch Iraq plan of the moment. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now a party that gives Congressman Mark Foley, GOP Congressman Mark Foley, a free pass for over a year over his explicit gay emails and IMs to congressional pages and putting pages at risk for various potential criminal sex actions by Foley. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now a party of the $8 trillion debt. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now the party of crumbling infrastructure here in the U.S. that will cost countless billions to fix. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now the party of Jack Abramoff and his limitless access to the White House. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now the party of GOP congressional leader Boehner, who passed out tobacco lobby checks on the floor of Congress. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now the party of Senator John McCain and the Keating Five banking scandal. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now a party of corruption, scandal, and sexual predators. The Republican Party of Nixon and Bush is now a party of hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. And come November 8th, the Republican Party of Nixon and Bush will be the party of being investigated and of subpoenas and of the return to checks and balances that our founding fathers mandated. So with that, we'll move on to the News Digest. And for today, we had... Oh, we heard. Oh, Darth Rankin, what's he saying? Cut and run liberals. Yeah, that's just BS. Yeah, that's BS because, you know what? Not cut and run. I never said cut and run. Pull the troops to the border, protect the border, and let the Iraqis finish settle this. Or, as Biden says, partition off the country. Have three separate states in Iraq with a central government like we do in the United States. This idiotic, asinine Iraq business with no plan is ridiculous, you know? Darth Franklin, you liberals are fools. You know, no, you conservatives are jackasses, you know? And Boehner points finger at the speaker. This is another one. This Speaker Hastert, he's got to resign office and leave. You know, he's got to stop and he's got to put down the pork chops and the third order of fried chicken and get the hell out of there, you know? ABC's Ted Davis reports that Boehner points finger at the speaker in a radio interview on 700 WLW Radio in Cincinnati. House Majority Leader John Boehner, remember, he passed out tobacco lobby checks on the floor of the House. He placed responsibility for the Foley matter not being handled properly on the House Speaker Dennis Hastert. I think he came to him with this in the middle of his third or fourth course of pork chops and chicken, so I don't know. I believe I talked to the Speaker, and he told me it had been taken care of. And he said, my position, it's in his corner. It's his responsibility. The clerk of the House who runs the page program, the page board, all report to the Speaker. I believe it had been dealt with. Wow. So, yeah, I think anybody who, all these GOPers, leaders who covered this up because they're afraid of losing the control of the Congress, they should resign. They should be charged as accessories to Foley. The FBI should toss them all in jail, especially Hastert. And then Hastert can meet up with the prisoner named Bubba, and Bubba can show him the ins and outs of the prison workout facility. And from the blog, MyDD, Chris Bowers, a total Republican collapse is imminent. Absolutely, it's imminent. This meltdown has been breathtaking, even before it started. Democrats were already on the brink of at least taking control, if not a huge wave election. Now even taking the Senate seems entirely possible. Now who knows how bad things will get for Republicans in elections around the country. There's no way to hold off an onslaught like this when they were already in such a bad position. Please, someone pinch me if to make sure that I'm not dreaming. This is a total Republican collapse. Absolutely, it's a collapse, and it's a long time in coming. They deserve it. And also from today, from the CNN correspondent Dana Bash, how is the Foley GOP, Congressman Foley, sex scandal, page scandal playing in Peoria? The Ray LaHood, Republican Illinois, is arguably one of the best politicians to assess the old political question, how is it playing in Peoria? LaHood, after all, represents Peoria, which is why I know it as the average American city, blah, blah, blah. He told CNN that the Page GOP Foley Page sex scandal, Zippergate, is not playing well. He says it is not good. The first three questions I get from everyone I see are about Foley, the Page program, and our leadership. It must be very difficult for the members in tough races right now, LaHood said. No kidding. Everybody's talking about it. Even Paula Zahn, she's opened up her program today with a new set, and it's all she was talking about was the GOP Foley Zippergate. And a poll, Bush speeches failed to rouse support for the Iraq war. This is from today. President Bush has been unable to reassure Americans about the war in Iraq, with nearly 60% of those surveyed in a new CNN poll saying his administration has deliberately misled the public about the progress of the war. Despite a recent speaking tour aimed at bolstering support for the conflict, only 32% told pollsters that they approve of Bush's management of the war. And support for the war itself slipped to 38%, down from 40% in a CNN poll last week. This is before they found those other troops were killed yesterday and today. So it's amazing, this brainless war over there, no plan, no admission of mistakes to, you know, let's bring in other voices to recalibrate our plan over there. I don't know, it's horrible. And Richard Vigeri, one of the founders of the conservative movement on Lou Dobbs tonight, said Hastert should resign, as should anyone else who had prior knowledge of the Zippergate. Absolutely, I said it. Oh, they all should resign. Boehner, he should go. Hastert should go. You know, and I see Boehner's trying to throw Hastert under the bus, but that bus needs more clearance. They're going to throw Hastert underneath it. Have you seen him lately? Biden, Juan, and Cheney out too. This is from Monday from Face the Nation on CBS. This is from Face the Nation. Senator Joe Biden, Democrat of Delaware, the ranking Democrat on the Foreign Relations Committee, says he thinks Rumsfeld should lose his job because what he sees is a mismanagement of the war. He's not even management at all. What are you talking about? Biden also said that in an Oval Office meeting that he told President Bush and Shooter Cheney, that he wanted Cheney to step down for the same reasons. The president said to me, quote, why do you keep picking on Rummy? And he said, uh-oh. Shooter Cheney, here you go. I told the I looked at the president and I said, Mr. President, with all due respect, are you kidding me? Respect? And I looked at the vice president. Mr. Vice President, I would call for your resignation as well. We are not a constitutional officer, Biden told host Bob Schieffer. So, and the president says, why would you say that? Oh, come on, Bush is silent. He sounds like more like a doofus every day. And I said, Mr. President, now one piece of advice, either Don Rumsfeld or Shooter Cheney has given you has turned out to be correct with regards to Iraq, and the president just seems completely wedded to the notion. So, that's horrendous. And also from the blog Shakespeare's Sister, she says, mark your calendars that Bay, Buchanan, and her agree. She says, I know one thing, that email they call an over-friendly email that had predators stamped all over it. No one in this country can suggest otherwise. You're in a leadership position. You have a colleague you know is at least a potential predator, and we have the pages coming through this office every day, she questions. They had an obligation that same day to investigate him further, to call in the FBI, if that was an appropriate action, and also to call in those pages and make certain every one of them was interviewed to see if there was any problems. Any problems here that goes deeper than what they already knew. They failed the parents of this country is what they did. So, yeah, this is bad. If they come back from the book scandal with Woodward, now this is going to just finish them off. And it's going to chat room, blah, blah, blah. Reading, I don't know. And from the 9/11 Commission, Monday from New York Times, 9/11 Commission not informed of July 2001 meeting. Members of the September 11th Commission said Sunday they were alarmed that they were told nothing about a July 2001 White House meeting at which George Tenet, then director of Central Intelligence, is reported to have warned Condoleezza Rice, the girl with the David Letterman smile, that the National Security Advisor, about an imminent attack by al-Qaeda and failed to persuade her to take action. Details of the meeting on July 10, 2001, 2 months before 9/11, were first reported last week in a new book by Bob Woodward. The White House disputes his account. Oh, of course. The final report from the 9/11 Commission made no mention of the meeting, nor did it suggest that there had been any such an encounter between Mr. Tenet and Ms. Rice, now the Secretary of State. So, well, that's now the pointing finger pointing is going back at the administration. What did they say when she is pointing a finger at Clinton? You have one finger pointing towards somebody, you got three others pointing back at you. So, and also from Monday, conservative activists call on Hastert to resign. Conservative talk show host Michael Reagan and Citizens United President Dave Bose have called on Speaker Lardass Hastert to resign immediately over his role in covering up Mark Foley's inappropriate behavior. From a release, they said Speaker Hastert had knowledge of Congressman Foley's inappropriate behavior and chose to protect a potential pedophile and powerful colleague over a congressional page, David Bose said, of president of the conservative advocacy group Citizens United. Michael Reagan, of course, son of President Ronald Reagan, nationally syndicated radio talk show host and chairman of Citizens United's Faith and Family Project, is also calling for resignations. He said any member of Congress who is aware of the sexual emails and protected the congressman should also resign effective immediately. So, yeah, it's nice when the Republicans, all the conservatives, start shooting on one another, yeah? Just stand back and watch, everybody. This is going to be fun. And let's see, a joke here. I got Bob Woodward's book claims that, it's from Bush, is saying in a cartoon I took off the newspaper. Bob Woodward's book claims that I am in denial about Iraq. He says, that's ridiculous. How could I be in denial about how well things are going in Iraq? So, yeah, that was more funny when I read it than it sounds now. But anyway, and what else? No bill too small for GOP incumbents in tight elections. House leaders rush through measures to win voters. There's more of these, you know, they're going to bribe the voters with these bills with their names on. Oh, look what we're doing while we're spending time covering for Mark Foley and all this BS. House Republican leaders last week muscled through more than 165 bills that their members can use to win over voters back home and deflect attention from the scandals they left behind in Washington. The scandal brewing around former Republican Representative Mark Foley's inappropriate emails to teenage boys is only the latest in a series of indictments, resignations, and accusations to rock Washington. Dozens of the made-order bills that flew through the House bear names of endangered lawmakers, from Pennsylvania Representative Jim Gerlach's Open Space and Farmland Preservation Act to Connecticut Representative Chris Shea's reauthorization of the HOPE-4 housing program, to measures to preserve Native American languages and assist in water planning for Representative Heather Wilson. So they're all getting their names on these bills. They look like they're more important than they are. And look at me. I got my name on a fancy bill. It's waste more money and drive up the debt even more. Look at me. I'm doing a good job. Kingston said House Majority Leader John Boehner and his first end-of-session rush in that post proved masterful at filling blank spots on the House's agenda with long-sought legislation. Yeah, what else he has here? Representative John Hostetler, Republican of Indiana, one of the most threatened in comments, was blazed. His name was blazed across the Public Expression of Religion Act, which passed the House Tuesday and would deny legal fees to anyone winning a lawsuit to block the display of religious symbols in public places. Yeah, amazing, amazing. And what's the separation of church and state? That's right. We threw that out with the rest of the with the Constitution as well when Bush got done wiping his ass with it, I guess. And from Monday from the Washington Post, GOP leader rebuts Hastert on Foley and Reynolds. Speaker knew of emails in the spring. Say, this has been percolating in the, over in Washington since the spring. The GOP didn't want to let this out. They kept it amongst themselves. You know, what if something would happen, a rape or something like that? What, you know, it's ridiculous. House Speaker Dennis Fatass Hastert was notified earlier this year of inappropriate emails from former Representative Mark Foley to a 16-year-old male page, a top GOP House member said yesterday, contradicting the Speaker's assertions they learned of concerns about Foley only last week. Hastert did not dispute the claims of Representative Tom Foley, and his office confirmed that some of the Hastert's top aides knew last year that Foley had been ordered to cease contact with the boy and to treat all pages respectfully. Yeah, will he respect those pages in the morning? You get what I mean?
It's difficult for me to express myself when I'm on the verge of exploding in my pants.
Is that during the IMs or during the emails? Ooh, I bet he does.
He's a fag.
Especially on a 16-year-old boy. Where's that breathing one? I could do that one. That's Mark Foley, are you there? There it is. There it is.
I like penis.
Oh, I bet
he's
you
a
do.
Fag.
And then to blame on alcoholism is just ridiculous. What does that have to do with anything else? It's a cop out. Feel sorry for me. And then the latest one is now he's molested by a clergy. Oh, hey, let's pull that out of the hat too while we're at it. You know? Oh.
You are a meathead.
Absolutely. I don't know. Anyway, where am I at here? Here we go. Will child predator foe Laura Bush honor Reynolds at luncheon? This will be interesting. Laura Bush is scheduled to be the keynote speaker at a luncheon honoring GOP Representative Tom Reynolds on October 4th, according to WGRZ-TV. As recently as June 6th, Ms. Bush spoke out against what she called predators on the Internet, saying that they're one of the greatest dangers children face today. And the question is, what does Laura Bush think of the fact that Reynolds has known of GOP Representative Mark Foley's behavior since early 2006 and kept it quiet? Will Laura Bush still attend the keynote luncheon honoring Reynolds? Oh, that'll be interesting. If she shows up to that, she's just a political hack like the rest of them. You know what I'm saying? And also, I don't believe anyone that I know. This is Rumsfeld. I don't believe anyone that I know in the administration ever said that Iraq had nuclear weapons. Donald Rumsfeld, May 14, 2003. On March 16, 2003, during an appearance on NBC's Meet the Press, Vice President Dick Shooter Cheney said, "We know he's been absolutely devoted to trying to acquire nuclear weapons, and we believe he has, in fact, reconstituted nuclear weapons." More of the Cheney's lying. Cheney's been lying since he got in. You know, I'm questioning if he's even the citizen of the United States. You know what I'm saying? And also from Monday, a candidate veteran attacks Bush on Iraq. An Illinois congressional candidate who lost both their legs during combat in Iraq said Saturday that President Bush has no real strategy for securing the war-ravaged nation, just political talk designed to appeal to voters. Instead of a plan or a strategy, we get shallow slogans like mission accomplished and stay the course, said former Army Captain Tammy Duckworth said in the Democrats' weekly radio address. Those slogans are calculated to win an election. They won't help us accomplish our mission in Iraq. What mission? Duckworth's address served as a response to the president's weekly blah, blah, gave the Democrat a chance to showcase one of its strongest candidates. So she co-piloted a Black Hawk that crashed while under a rocket grenade attack almost 2 years ago. So, and she also criticized Bush and others in his administration for accusing anyone who challenges the president's policies of cutting and running. So, yeah, they did. Somebody said that one of her opponent's campaign advisor said so much she's cutting and running, and everybody's like, oh, she doesn't have any legs. How can, you know, say they're kind of double entendre there. You know, it's like, what the hell? You know, these Republicans are so desperate. GOP aides knew in late 2005 of email. This is another one about this Foley business. New York Times on Monday. Top House representatives knew for months about email traffic between Representative GOP Zippergate scandal, Mark Foley, and his former teenage page, but kept the matter secret and allowed Mr. Foley to remain head of a House Congressional Caucus on children's issues. Ugh, it's like having a fox watching the hen house, a Republican lawmaker said on Saturday. The exchanges began with what Republicans now describe as an over-friendly email message from Mr. Foley to the unidentified teenager. Among those who became aware earlier this year of the fall 2005 communications between Foley and the 16-year-old who worked for Representative Ron Alexander were also John Boehner, the majority leader, Thomas Reynolds of New York, chairman of the NRCC. Mr. Reynolds said in a statement that Saturday that he had personally raised the issue with Speaker Dennis Hastert. Representative Chris Shays, Republican of Connecticut, said any leader who had been aware of Mr. Foley's behavior and failed to take action should step down. If they knew or should have known the extent of his problem, they should not serve in leadership, said Mr. Shays. Representative Robert E. Kramer, an Alabama Democrat who was a co-chairman with Mr. Foley of the House Caucus on Missing and Exploited Children, condemns Mr. Foley's actions as shocking and disturbing. So, Mr. Kramer said, anyone, including Foley, involved in this type of behavior should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. That also means Hastert, his being Boehner, because they enabled him to keep doing this, you know? They should be prosecuted as well. Throw them, all three of them, in jail together. And Shepard Smith slaps down Bill Kristol over Bush, waiting until after election to make changes in Iraq strategy. And, this, of course, Shepard Smith is Fox News, so they'll probably fire him now. Shepard Smith says, it's horrifying that you just said that we can't do anything until after the election. Shepard Smith goes on, we've got men and women over there who are dying every day, and you just said that the man that you support, Bush, can't do anything even though you believe he knows it's wrong. What is worse than that, Bill Kristol? Kristol said, I think it's hard to ask Bush to do something in the middle of this election season. Smith says, that's disgusting. It's a disgusting and repulsive reality, Bill. You have to admit that. Wow. So, of course, Kristol is one of the blowhards in charge of the Weekly Standard magazine. So, and also from Sunday, we have U.S. threatens to cut funding for Iraq's police from the New York Times. The United States may cut off funding for Iraq's police because of its failure to punish people responsible for torture. The U.S. ambassador to Iraq said in an interview published on Saturday. Zalmay Khalilzad told the New York Times that Washington is yet to formally notify Baghdad that funding may be cut, but officials are reviewing programs because of a U.S. law that forbids funding armies or police that violate human rights. Does that also apply to our armies and our police? Because we're doing waterboarding? I don't know. Khalilzad said that he still had faith in Iraq's new interior minister, whoever, blah, blah, blah. They all have faith in him. Yeah, right. And also from Monday, a detainee memo created divide in the White House. This is from New York Times, also Monday. Two senior national security officials in the Bush administration came together to propose a sweeping new approach to the growing problems the United States was facing with the detention, interrogation, and prosecution of terrorism suspects. In a nine-page memorandum, the officials urged the administration to seek congressional approval for its detention policies. They called for a return to the minimum standards of treatment in the Geneva Conventions and for eventually closing the detention center at Guantanamo. The time had come, they said, for suspects in the 9/11 plot to be taken out of their secret prison cells and tried before military tribunals. The recommendations of the paper, which has not previously been disclosed, blah, blah, blah. So actually, Rumsfeld, they presented to Rumsfeld, Rummy, and it so angered Rumsfeld that his aides gathered up the copies of the documents, and at least some of them have been shredded. So that goes to that as well. So I think we'll take our break, our music interlude, and I'll bring our guest on. It'll be Joey from the Donkey Digest. So we'll be right back in just a moment, and stay tuned.
ago, the Congresses were liberal democratic.
They all hung trees.
Banned DDTs.
Refused to be pragmatic.
Then voters said our state is red, our message is emphatic.
We want some moral values and a Congress theocratic.
We're super zealous radicals against all things atrocious.
We like Fox News.
They share our views.
Ann Coulter is precocious.
If you cross me, you'll quickly see that we can be ferocious. We're super zealous radicals against all things atrocious.
Hold on here. Hey, wait. You know, you don't have a corner on moral values, all right? Our state is blue. We don't like you. We won't give folks a fair chance.
We'll brag to you of our IQ while yours is like a pear plant.
We've got degrees like PhDs. We don't like your unfair rants.
You started wars, and what's more, you don't like SpongeBob SquarePants.
We're the super jealous far out left who'd like to run the nation.
You clear the way.
You wish no way.
It's classic confrontation. Yet you all see the irony is most folks in the nation are super cautious people who could use some moderation.
Today our nation saw evil, the very worst of human nature, and we responded with the best of America, with the daring of our rescue workers, with the caring of, for strangers and neighbors who came to give blood and help in any way they could.
Oh, beautiful, far, spacious sky.
These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world.
A purple mountain, majesty.
These acts shattered steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. This is a day when all Americans from every walk of life unite in our resolve for justice and peace, all that is good.
America,
even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, America, I fear no evil, for you are with me.
You know, God done shed his grace on thee.
We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbored them. None of us will ever forget this day.
Yes,
yet we go forward to defend freedom. Our country is strong.
From sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
Thank you. Good night. And God bless America.
And we're back with Joey from the Donkey Digest. Sir, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There we go. There we go. So I must have been a GOP programming that music. I was vomiting during that song, but it's all right. Anyway, welcome.
Was that a parody?
No, it wasn't. I wish it was. It was Bush. It was Ray Charles. I don't know. I remember that one after 9/11.
It sounded like a good imitation of Bush.
Really?
And yes, it did. But it didn't sound like Bush. It sounded like a good imitation of Bush.
Oh, and maybe it was.
It was. It sounded like a parody to me. It was sort of like a parody of what
Republicans. Oh, was that a parody, producer? Was that parody? Is that a real book? Oh, he doesn't know. He just played it. I don't know. It sounded like, if it was, it was funny, but I was like, what the hell is this playing during this hour? Anyway, welcome to the program.
No, glad to be here.
You're welcome. And give everybody a little idea. You actually have two sites. When I mention, whichever one I mention both, give an idea what they're both about.
Sure. Well, my first site is donkeydigest.com. It's actually a continuation of a blog I started three, 4 years ago, where I used to be a lot more partisan than I am. I started blogging a couple of years ago. I was a very partisan Democrat. Got a little tired of the poisonous atmosphere on both sides of the aisle. Had a little enough of that. Took a break for a little while and came back and started blogging from the center. Imported all my posts from the old blog, so you can sort of see an evolution of my blogging style from way back to what it is now. Mm-hmm. So I blog from the center, and I wanted to bring together other centrist bloggers as well, so I started a site called Centrist Democrats of America. That's at centristdems.com. Mm-hmm. And currently I have about 10 other bloggers there blogging with me on a semi-routine basis, trying to build that a little bit.
Very good, very good. Like I say, I just found that. I don't know how it took me so long to find that, the Centrist Dems of America, but it's an excellent website. Excuse
well,
me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And what's the big story on your blog? I'm on Donkey Digest right now. It's like I'm a center-left Democrat as well. Some things I'm more left on. Other things I'm kind of more towards the center. And I'm kind of I bounce around a little bit, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But, of course, the big thing is that Foley Zippergate. I mean, that's just horrible, huh?
No, most definitely.
Horrible
for the GOP.
Horrible for, you know, as Foley is a Republican, I hate, you know, his family, you know, I understand he's got an elderly father. I mean, it's terrible they have to go through all that, huh?
Well, sure. Aside from the tragedy mm-hmm. of the situation, the moral tragedy, mm-hmm. Of course, we feel sorry for the children in question, their family. We feel sorry for Representative Foley's family as well. Mm-hmm. But the Republican Party has always tried to take the moral position on everything. They consider themselves the party of moral values, family mm-hmm. values. And for this to happen is just somewhat ironic, especially, you know, 4 weeks out from an election.
Oh, yeah, this is just, if the Democrats don't take over the House with this, I mean, they never will, you know?
Well, they're trying to say it's the Democrats' fault now, as you would expect.
Oh, yeah, I saw that when I was leaving. They're trying to, I know Hastert was on Limbaugh or something like that, trying to spin it onto the Democrats that, of course it's the Democrats' fault. Yeah, Hillary set it up. Yeah, that'd be the next one. Hillary did this to Foley, you know?
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, that's
it. It's all Bill Clinton's
yeah.
fault. It's the cleanest.
Yeah, what'd you say?
It's the cleanest.
Yeah, it's just it's nonsense. And then because it's knocking out. See, the big story I was thinking was going to be the book, State of Denial. You know, that was it was supposed to be. They're supposed to make the big splash on Sunday with the Sunday morning shows, and then everybody's supposed to talk about this week. But then the Foley business just overwhelmed it.
Well, if you'll remember. Mm-hmm. Over the past several years, we've seen a lot of books like this. We've seen a lot of revelations like this. It doesn't really seem to shift the Republican base. They don't care. It's like a sporting event to them. They don't mind if their team cheats as long as they get away with it and win. Mm. But the one thing it seems the Republican base cannot stomach is a moral scandal.
Mm.
That's why this takes precedence over everything else that's come before it in terms of Republican folly.
Yeah, well, it's not just it's the cover up that they've been doing too, because this has been going on. You know, what is something at least since what 2003 or something like that? That some of the pages were warned to stay away from Foley.
Oh, sure.
And then just in last year, Hastert didn't do anything about it.
And the Washington Times is calling for his resignation, immediate resignation.
Now, resignation from his seat, as speaker, or resignation from office?
Well, I'm assuming just a speaker.
But if it's someone of this grave, you think they'd be calling for him to resign from office in disgrace because they covered this up just for the sake of trying to secure the Republicans' control over the House is really a sickening scenario.
Well, the Republicans are convening a meeting of their ethics committee, their sham of an ethics committee to investigate this. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, and then also a little further down on your blog, you talk about Howard Dean. The New Yorker News magazine.
The New York Times.
New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that. How did they make him look?
It was a fair article. Mm. The author seemed to be a little bit hesitant about his 50-state strategy, as I am,
mm-hmm.
mainly because it seems to want to make a win in November an iffy thing? Like, we'll sacrifice a win in November if we can win Alaska in 20 years. That's the way I see this 50-state strategy going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Republicans are pouring millions of dollars into the most competitive House races, and Rahm Emanuel, who is the congressman from Illinois, who is also the head of the Democrats' House committee, had to beg the DNC for some extra cash to pour into these two.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, the DNC under Howard Dean is trying to build party affiliations in far-flung places like Alaska, which will not be in play for 10 or 15 years anyway for the Democrats. And oddly enough, or typically, the left of the Democratic Party is cheering it on. The print edition of the article in the New York Times said that it was Howard Dean's creative destruction of the Democratic establishment. And they're saying, go Howard, let's destroy the Democratic establishment, which is ridiculous. The Democratic establishment is giving us these possible wins in November.
Yeah, I mean, it's I never did care for Dean being in the chair of the DNC. I mean, I always thought, well, you know, is he crazy? He always has this foot-in-the-mouth disease and all that. I say for a while, ever since after the last election, he'd be better off if the Democrats would go to him and make him our answer to Rush Limbaugh. He's got the sharp tongue. He's got the quick wit. He's perfect for that. You know?
Well, Howard Dean, you have to give Howard Dean credit for one thing. He's a good fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what he was put in place to do. Let's raise money. He's taken on a role that perhaps other DNC chairs have never taken on before. He's attempting to steer the party in a certain direction, and of course there are party stalwarts that aren't going to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of Rahm Emanuel? I've spoken to him a couple times. I really like him because he's the one that came up when we first went to Iraq with that bill that okay, Bush, we'll authorize this, but for every dollar you spend in Iraq, you have to spend another dollar, the same dollar, equal dollar here in the United States. Yeah, but that, of course, that never went through, but still, I thought it was a brilliant move on his part.
Rahm Emanuel is the type of Democrat that the Democratic Party has been lacking for the past generation or so.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Bill Clinton, when Rahm Emanuel was working in the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton has called Rahm Emanuel his Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm.
He takes the fight to them. He's not afraid to piss people off, which is what we need. He stood on the floor of the House and just tore into Ann Coulter. You know, I mean, that's the type of thing that the Democrats need right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there busting his butt to give us this House win in November.
Yeah. Yeah, as I say, the Democrats have to get off their collective asses and start swinging. Clinton gave everybody an example of how to do it. You got to get up and strike back. It's like I said, they have meetings. They're starting to document these meetings that with Condoleezza Rice 2 months before 9/11, that she pretty much ignored the warnings from Tenet. I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. I mean, you've got no choice. We got 06, and this is going to be a fight to the finish. How do you think things are looking towards the midterms now with this Foley business? I mean, it looking better for the House, but then we're always being warned about this October surprise that Rove is going to come up with.
Well, you know, funny you should ask that. Republicans are saying that this is the Democrats' October surprise, that the Democrats have had this in the wings for a little while. This Foley scandal. There was actually someone from Fox News, though, Susan Estrich, who's a Democrat, who said that perhaps Bill Clinton's performance on the Fox News show with Chris Wallace was the Democrats' October surprise. Interestingly enough, there was I'll probably flip the polls. I probably won't tell them in the right order. A CNN poll before the path to 9/11 came on ABC, asking who do you blame more for not catching Osama bin Laden, Bush or Clinton, and Bush was blamed more, but only by about 3 percentage points. After the movie aired, Gallup came up with a similar poll asking the same amount of people who do you blame the most for the attacks of 9/11. This time, Bush was blamed the most by about 18 points.
Wow.
Wow.
So you see the Democrats' effort out there to paint the path to 9/11 as a propaganda piece, a fictional propaganda piece, actually probably paid off. More people saw it that way, if you believe the polls. And after Bill Clinton's performance on Fox News with Chris Wallace, there seemed to be a little shift in the media, on all the talking heads, all the pundits, about who exactly had the best record in fighting terrorism. It seems to have shifted Clinton's way. That's been a big boost for us for the November elections as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you watch, I watched the path of 9/11, and I thought, well, you know, I'll watch and see. And actually, I thought, well, I mean, it really, to me, I worked on the Clinton campaign in 92 and 6. I go, this really, I didn't see any, and it must have, you know, they changed it or what. Cause I came, well, it really doesn't make them look too bad, you know, because they showed an image of Clinton on the wall there, and the Taliban were shooting the hell out of the wall. I thought, well, it makes Clinton look strong, like he's the face of evil. I mean, it, you know, I like that. You know, it doesn't make him look weak as everybody's been led to believe. You know,
well, from what I understand, and I did not watch the movie.
No.
I was just following it all in the media.
Mm-hmm.
There was one key part there that was changed, that was edited in the final hour, where it was alluded to that Clinton was distracted by the Lewinsky affair. So he did not want to take strong action. Well, we know he did take action, and the right howled, you know, like accusing him of wagging the dog.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this week and last week, that the right said, no, we never said wag the dog. And of course, you know, the bloggers around the internet had to pull out all the quotes to show that in fact the right did, you know, accuse Clinton of trying to divert.
Oh, yeah, that's the Republicans' you know, strategy du jour. Oh, we never said that. And then, you know, Cheney's been lying since day one about this Iraq business. And he's, oh, I never said Iraq or anything. And then Russert pulls out the quotes.
That's right.
I mean, I don't know if they have any shame, or do they not realize the age we're living in now? You can go back and pull the clips, you know, out real fast. I mean, it's maddening.
Well, you know, the Republicans believe that if they say something to someone, and they've gotten away with it forever on these talking head shows, that people aren't going to question it. They're not going to go back and check the sources. But, you know, we know some people will, and more often than not, the Republicans are getting busted on it.
Now, a question from the chat room. What is the defining issue of this midterm election?
Well, that's a twofold question. What is the defining issue, and what should be the defining issue?
Mm.
It looks like the defining issue is going to be the Foley scandal.
Mm.
Shouldn't be, though. The defining issue should be the Iraq War.
Mm.
And Bush's bungling of it, Congress's bungling of the Iraq War, and then the appropriations for it, and giving Bush, you know, the go-ahead on just about everything he's wanted with it.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, that and this false business about the economy is booming and everything else. I mean, you know, I'm living here in Vegas. I don't feel the economy booming here at all. I still see homeless on the streets. I'm pulling up here and everything else. I mean, I think that also, you know.
Well, the economy is booming, but it's not booming for the middle class or the lower class. It's booming for the upper class. It's not booming with the people that run the economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's booming for the people that reap the rewards from the economy.
Now, another question, well, they always throw this out. What do you think of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi?
I don't have anything against Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
She is, and of course, all your listeners know I'm a centrist. She has been a little too liberal for my taste, but mm-hmm. I would certainly rather have her than Denny Hastert any day.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm from the same state. I used to live in Illinois with him, and you know, he's, you know, it'd be nice because, you know, like I said, she'd be the highest elected woman in our country's history. You know,
sure.
At least until 2008 when Hillary gets in. You know,
exactly.
Either way,
you know, Hillary's got that deal working that if she doesn't run for president,
mm-hmm.
that Harry Reid's going to turn over the stewardship of the Senate to her.
In 2009. Yeah. I mean, how feel all this is going to work out? After 2006, looking ahead, say the Democrats do take over the House. I don't know, with the Senate, it still seems kind of a stretch. But you never know now with this Foley business. I think throws everything up in the air. But, I mean, say Pelosi becomes the Speaker. Looking in 2008, how does that set the Democrats for 2008 then?
Well, first, let me backtrack, and you mentioned something about the Senate. Real Clear Politics, which is a Republican-run site, now has the Senate projected 50-50.
Oh.
All right, so we could go either way. Mm-hmm. We've got that really. We got two competitive Senate races right now. We got Tennessee, where Harold Ford is within one percentage point, and we've got Virginia. Depending on which poll you look at, you know, Jim Webb is either ahead or dead even with Allen. So I'm looking. It's conceivable for us to take the Senate as well. But for 08, mm-hmm. funny we should talk about the Hillary deal. When that deal first broke, when we first started getting the inkling of that deal on the Internet, you don't hear them talk about this anymore. One of the details was that wealthy Republican donors in the Northeast were having a say in that deal. They were saying, don't run Hillary. We'll support her as the Senate Majority Leader. Run someone like a Mark Warner or an Evan Bayh, the Democratic centrist, and these are Republican donors. We will support that campaign. Mm. So even the Northeastern Republicans, which are moderates, are a little tired of the neocons, so to speak.
Huh. Well,
they're looking for some change, and they're not looking for big change. They still want, you know, they want someone to rule from the center, mm-hmm. which is what anybody that's elected president will typically try to do,
yeah.
at least at first.
Well, Hillary, I've been following her record. She's very, very moderate. I mean, look at some of her stands. I mean, some of it they say she's playing towards 08, but, I mean, still, she's taking these stands. Even, you know, Bill Clinton, he was, you know, center-left. So, I mean, if she can follow that same track, I mean, it'll be a wonderful, stage for her to be the first female president, huh?
I would never turn down Hillary as president.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Back in 92, you know, Clinton said, you're getting two for one, and I believe you would get it again with a Hillary presidency.
Absolutely, because it'd be time. It's time, because like I said, this country of freedom for all, liberty and all this, and every president we've had has been a white male. I mean, Britain's had a female prime minister. Liberia's got a female African president over there. I mean, isn't it time?
Well, I would say it's time.
Yeah.
You would get no argument with me, but will the American people, do they think it's time?
Mm-hmm.
Would they vote for a woman as a whole? I always have to preface this when I'm talking to some of my friends that are women. I'm like, okay, I'm fine with a woman president, so don't think it's me saying this, but ask yourself, is the country ready for it? Will they vote for it? That's the big question.
Yeah, you would think. You would hope that the country is, you know, forward thinking enough, but you never know. Same thing with you say I like Harold Ford. Like to see him run for president. You know, over Barack Obama. I just Barack Obama's good and everything, but something about him I don't like. I don't know what it is, but I like Harold Ford. I've seen Harold Ford speak. He speaks a little more to all of us. I mean, he's a little more of a common sense type of a Democrat. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Barack Obama, he has an identity crisis. He's not sure what kind of Democrat he is. When he was first elected to the Senate, there was this brouhaha over him being listed on the Democratic Leadership Council's website.
Mm-hmm.
And so he supposedly asked the DLC to take his name off their list. But you and I know that the DLC doesn't just put people's names on a list. You actually fill out an application if you become part of the Senate New Democrat Coalition. You actually fill out an application to become part of that group. So I believe that Barack Obama, the Netroots got to him, essentially. And he succumbed to the pressure and asked to be disassociated with the DLC. But he was DLC when he was when he was in the state legislature anyway in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, another question for Chairman. What's your position about on the DLC versus the DNC?
There is no DLC versus the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
The DLC is a think tank. The DNC is the official
party.
Arm of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
There's no competition there. The DLC is a PAC. They can't donate money to the candidates. Officially, they're not supposed to endorse candidates, and if you look, they haven't.
No.
Even in 2004, there was how many DLC candidates running? John Edwards, John
mm-hmm.
Kerry, Bob Graham,
mm-hmm.
Joe Lieberman. Howard Dean was former DLC,
mm-hmm.
And they did not endorse any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always liked the I like the DLC because they always come up with the ideas. I was always explaining to people, DNC is the party, you know, that they endorse the candidates, raise money. The DLC comes out with other ideas that's supposed to be part of the overall Democratic party. Correct.
Sure. Well, sure. I mean, they don't set policy. Mm-hmm. They recommend policy. They
Correct.
Say, here is what our people say is a good idea. You can choose to run with it or you can choose to not run with it. And, of course, Bill Clinton, being, you know, one of the first chairmen of the DLC, he ran with the DLC's platform in 92 and in 96. Mm-hmm. And ran away with it, so to speak, with the presidency.
Yeah. Well, I think that the question from the chatter was probably getting that there's always a pull and a tug between the really far left side of the Democratic Party to more the DLC center left Democratic Party. You know, it's like who's going to win out? No way. Who's going to be the nominee? Is it going to be a Hillary? Is it going to be a Feingold or someone? You know what I mean?
That's only on the internet.
Yeah.
If you go to any local Democratic Party group, like a county party meeting, mm-hmm. not only do they not know who the DLC is, they're clueless. And that's not a bad thing. They want the party to win regardless of who the candidates are.
Mm-hmm.
They're clueless about the intra-party war that rages on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, I there's people in my county party, which or a PAC of my county party, which I'm a vice chair of, who have been involved in Democratic politics for the longest time, and they're just slightly familiar with who and what the DLC is.
Amazing.
It's really exaggerated.
Yeah. Now you're in Georgia. That's the heart of one of the reddest states in the country, isn't
it?
Yes, it is. Now, how the Democrats how do they run against the Republican dynasty there, huh?
Well, you know, I consider Georgia a purple state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Georgia went for Bill Clinton in 92. Georgia only elected its first Republican governor in Sonny Perdue, the first since the Civil War era. So it's just recently become a red state, so I still call it a purple state. I ran a city council race, in which I lost. And the part of Georgia I'm in is heavy Republican. And I ran as a centrist. I wasn't ashamed of it. Wasn't ashamed to call myself a Democrat. The guy I was running against was a 12 or 16-year incumbent. It escapes me right now exactly how many years he had served. Most elections, nobody wanted to run against him. That's how well-known he was. I did my research. I found out how many of his opponents he had had in the past and how many votes they pulled, and actually did better than anyone that ever ran against him before. Still lost, though. But that, you know, that's what you have to do. Centrists in Georgia will fare better than a far-left liberal.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. Actually, you're the home state of Zell Miller as well.
Unfortunately.
And then, of course, Jimmy Carter, of course, Plains, Georgia, and his son is out here running for Senate against Ensign, Senator John Ensign, who his livelihood is given dogs and cats rectal exams. But Jack Carter and his Jimmy Carter's been here for the last several days, and they show the crowds out to see President Carter. It's amazing, you know, the people coming out to see him, you know.
Sure.
And they show Ensign. Ensign's got like 20, 30 people in his crowd. Yeah, Carter's got 200-300 out to see him. You know, and the same thing with when Clinton said, he goes, people, they come out. I saw that during the Carter when he was speaking. The crowd was so quiet. You know, like I said, they want to hear ideas. You know.
Well, Clinton gets a rock star welcome wherever he's at.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, you're right. People, when Bill Clinton, it's like the old commercial. When Bill Clinton speaks, everyone listens. I've never had the opportunity to meet the guy, but a friend of mine has, who works as a lobbyist, and he said when Bill Clinton walks into a room, even a partisan room of Republicans, people will just stop and watch his every move. They're just obviously the most gifted politician of our time.
Yeah, it's amazing. When I was working on his campaign in Chicago, when he walked into the election, it was on St. Patrick's Day, and he came in into the Palmer House, and you could tell the whole, he was just still the nominee then, and I think that was the night to put him over the top or close to over the top. And you know, he walked in, and it's like everybody just stopped, and here he, you know, just amazing how he works the room. He shakes everybody's hand, and I was wearing a shamrock tie, and he does. He makes you feel like you're actually impacting him. He goes, "Oh, it's a nice tie, and thank you for coming out." And you know, and Hillary said, "Boy, you're tall. I'm 6'3", and she goes, "Oh, you're tall." It just, with the way he commands a room. room is amazing. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So we need more of that. Like, hopefully, you know, Hillary can channel some of that in 08 or Mark Warner. Like Mark Warner, a lot of people have been referring to him as Clinton Light.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that before, and I've had the opportunity to meet Mark Warner. I've heard him speak, and you're right. He's a Clinton light. He has Clinton's mind without Clinton's charisma.
Yeah.
And charisma is going to take you a long way, though. You need some of that charisma to get going.
Yeah. Well, Joey, with the let you go at the end of our segment, we'll bring you back in a couple weeks. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Okay, and if I could just tell everybody again, my blog is Donkey Digest. Mm-hmm. And if you're a centrist Democrat and want to do a little bit of blogging for me, it's centristdems.com.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joey.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And that was Joey from Donkey Digest, as well as the Centrist Democrats of America. And we'll be back in our second hour. We'll be joined by Dr. Net Ranger, the mad rocket scientist, with a pop culture discussion. And we will be right back. Thank you very much.
A fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You gotta take cover. Buying bread from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under, where we just blow and mention her. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
attention, see that the humans remain entertained until the end.
And we are back for the second hour of Subject to Discussion. Once again, live on LVRocks.com as well as on S2DRadio.com. Thank you for everybody joining us live and everybody in the chat room. Anorexic Pillow, Krista 19, Darth Franken, Giorgio Guest 024, Invincor, IO Raptor, JDR MD, Justify, NetRanger, Scully Girl, and myself. And once again, it's if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's Subject to Discussion time. And what else? We'll be venturing into our pop culture segment in just a moment. And we're joined by Dr. NetRanger with his recap of pop culture for the week. And we'll do that right now. Might as well start. I'm losing track. I'm looking at this blonde website. I get distracted.
Wow.
Yeah. What the hell is this music? All right. Dr. NetRanger, what's up? Hello, are you there?
Yeah.
Wow, what kind of music is that?
For Friday Night Lights,
yeah. Oh, that's the theme? Oh, it says pop culture. It's pop culture theme or something like that. I thought you...
Pop culture.
So that's the Friday Night Lights theme?
Well, it's one of the themes. It's one of the ones they're playing with the promos. Wow. The internet and online. But the show started, actually just went off in some of the markets, so...
Oh, how was it?
A good one.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, it's great. It's one of the best pilots I've ever seen, and one of the best first episodes I've seen.
Really? Oh, well, hopefully my VCR is taping it. It clunked out the other day on me. I didn't get the... I didn't get Heroes yesterday. I'll have to watch on the repeat on Friday on Sci-Fi. But so you like this now? It's a different. This is Dr. NetRanger, the Mad Rocket Scientist. Everybody's asking, and we're doing our pop culture discussion with the MediaBoulevard.com as well as Media Boulevard Magazine, and we're talking about the Friday Night Lights, which premiered tonight. And you said the episode was outstanding, right?
Yeah. It's totally different. A lot of people saw the movie and. Yeah, I think there wasn't a whole lot of excitement about the pilot when they first announced they were picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
But what you see on the promos and everything is just, you know, teenagers playing football. But we can kind of talk about the pilot now, I guess, a little bit more since it's out. But there's actually a really shocker ending that kind of hits you like a train.
Really?
I'm probably spoiling it for you here, but the pilot's setting up, kind of introducing the football players and the star quarterback, who's the best football player in America, basically. He's got his whole life ahead of him. Notre Dame's trying to recruit him, and in the very first game of the season, he makes a tackle and actually gets hurt, and it turns out he's paralyzed.
Whoa. Wow.
He has a spinal injury. So that's one of the things that the show is going to delve into, is this kid that had everything, the local town hero. He was probably the most important person in the town, but now that he's injured and no longer has the ability to play the game, is he still going to be the hero? You know, what happens to this guy now when, what's his girlfriend going to do? Is she going to stay with him, or was she really just with him to get out of the town? So there's a lot of really deep stuff like that they can play into this. It's still going to have a teenage, kind of an OC or One Tree Hill type theme in there, but there's just a bigger plot that's in there. And that's kind of the... That's the thing that's gotten the critics so excited about you. It's all over the news today, like New York Times. Mm-hmm. The reviewer, who's normally a pretty sour guy, was just gushing about it, saying it was the best show he'd ever seen, and it was a piece of art.
Well, yeah, because I mentioned it at the beginning of the program that the USA Today in the Life section gives it 3.5 stars, which is historic for USA Today. That TV writer, what's his name, Robert Bianco. That's very rarely does he give that many stars out to a TV show.
Yeah, and it's kind of been like that. Pretty much everybody that's seen the pilot. To be honest, when I first saw the pilot, I guess the first 30-40 minutes of it, I was thinking this is kind of mediocre. It's the movie made into a TV series. It wasn't that great, but the last 5 minutes of the pilot are probably some of the most powerful moments I've seen on TV in a really long time.
Wow, that's quite a statement there. Holy cow, I hope
it,
I'll...
It just grabs hold and blows you away. Actually, I don't know if you got that sound segment that's called Friday Night Lights.
Oh, we got the other Friday Night Lights there, Con? Let's see.
You can play that.
Of all of us gathered here tonight, the strength to remember that life is so very fragile. We are all vulnerable, and we will all, at some point in our lives, fall. We will all fall. We must carry this in our hearts. that what we have is special. That it can be taken from us, and that when it is taken from us, we will be tested. We will be tested to our very souls. We will now all be tested. It is these times, it is this pain, that allows us to look inside ourselves.
Wow. It's a Kyle Chandler, who was formerly of Final Edition. Where was that? No, First Edition. It was on First CBS.
Edition. Yeah, and he had a role in King Kong here just recently, the remake of King Kong, and had a big part in the Super Bowl special of Grey's Anatomy last year.
Oh.
But that speech is for the kind of the setup for that, just to put it in context, and that kind of sets the stage for the rest of the series. But that voiceover kind of starts at the end of the game, and none of the team or the players really know. All they know is that the guy was hurt and taken off the field, and you kind of see everybody gathering at the hospital, and the coach walking into the hospital while the speech is going, and then kind of just as he finishes that up, he walks into the hospital room, and you see this the kid, the star quarterback, laying on the bed with this giant like halo collar immobilizing his neck and his head, and then it just kind of fades to black. So, that and kind of leading up to that scene was just, like I said, really, really something cool. And I think they have a real chance. I mean, they could always blow it and do like a miraculous recovery and have the guy back on the field in a week or two. But the indications are that they're going to kind of play the story. And,
Well, maybe they can use the cells from Sharon to save the quarterback on Friday Night Lights. The Cylon cells. Dr. Baltar, I'm sure, can make a visit.
Both ABC Universal properties.
You never know. That'd be one heck of a crossover. They ever did that. They'd be jumping the shark. They'd be jumping the whole tank of shark. They did that, huh?
Yeah.
But it's a good idea, because when he first announced the show, I was like, oh, no. Like you said, I don't know, these movies, they turn into series. Those never work. You know, it's always a disaster. You know, and then you see, the one star, they're pumping up him up as like the next big teen heartthrob. What's his name? Taylor,
right.
Taylor Kitsch. And I thought, oh, it's going to be like a One Tree Hill type of thing. You know, how many more of these shows do we need? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
this one does have a potential to go beyond that and tell a good story with some real implications. So we'll see what they do with it. I guess tomorrow we'll know what the ratings were.
Yeah, and then I actually want to talk about the Vanished now. Vanished is...
oh, my God.
Yeah, they're getting rid of Eddie Cibrian. He's coming back again. Well, he's like the new Heather Locklear. He's like the Lucky Penny, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Is Conan in the studio tonight? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to hear what he thinks.
Oh, okay.
As a fan, but...
I like it.
You like Vanished?
Did you see last night?
Yeah, I was shocked. I was like, oh, my God, they got rid of the main investigator guy.
He's a character. I had another sound effect for this one, but I don't know if we have to play it. But the show, they...
Here he comes. There it comes, I think.
That's horrible.
That's horrible.
That's the new theme, by the way. Vanished. Vanished in the toilet.
The Nuggets. They had
7 million viewers on the show, and they're killing the main character. I mean, the guy was carrying the show. The rest of the actors aren't that great. The story is very convoluted, and they killed the main character.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought that would have been a very strong cast with him and the guy they just brought in
Cibrian.
From Invasion.
Cibrian, yeah.
Right, if they would have brought him in the beginning. But, some of the other coincidences, he's in there. This show is also paired with Prison Break, so now the two refugees from Invasion over on ABC are now paired again. I mean, not in the same show, but back-to-back.
But the one thing I do like is... You get the notion that they could kill anyone at any time.
Yeah.
That's the only thing now. They killed the main character. Yeah. It's open to, you know what? We could kill whoever we want.
Yeah.
Which is good, because you don't know who might disappear.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, they do that. It kills the show. They kill the star of the show in the second episode or whatever, the third.
Well, I wouldn't say he's really. I mean, the only reason he's the star of the show is because he's in. He's the main guy. But there's a lot of other people. There's the senator. There's the daughter. There's the son. I mean, it's more of an ensemble cast than he's the main character. But he's the main character because the situation he's put in. But. Him, I thought it was great that they killed him. Well, not that I didn't want to see him on there anymore because I liked his character.
You don't
but
do that on a TV show.
You don't do that, and I thought that was great.
Yeah. So,
I think it was a huge mistake. I mean, I'd have to disagree that it was really an ensemble. I mean, it was really a lead character with supporting cast.
Well, I don't know. Well, what about Heroes now? I missed last night's episode. I'm going to have to catch up on Friday now. But how did Heroes do last night?
Well, Heroes, the second episode was great. The first one. You know, everybody was talking about it being kind of slow. They were doing so much introduction, and you had to get into the characters and kind of expand on each one and a lot of that. But last night, it really started moving. And I won't go into too many spoilers. I know somebody in the chat room was concerned because they didn't see it either. But you get to see some jumps ahead in time. The Japanese guy that can bend time goes about a month or so into the future at one point. You get to see what he's doing. And that's very much... Again, very much like the 4400, but initial impression, I think it's better than the 4400.
Ooh, really?
Same basic premise. You have these people with these really special abilities that they're developing them all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a disaster coming, and that's kind of why they're activating. I think that's kind of the underlying plot. But the show did very well last night also. It's down just a little bit in the numbers from last week.
Mm.
But there's kind of a rule of thumb, a show... generally drops off about 15% the second week from the premiere because a lot of people come see it and don't like it.
Yeah,
there was only about a 5% drop in Heroes. So.
Well, it's a good good play. And they've been showing it over and over because I was at the gym last night. I saw it on USA was airing it, and then they aired the story so far for Galactica, and then. Of course, we know they're going to re-air it on Friday, Heroes, before Galactica, before Doctor Who, right?
Right.
So hopefully, so I like the 4400. Just it's not on. They only do what? How many episodes does 4400 do? 13.
Yeah.
Well, this one's only going to do 13, right? Still, right?
Well, they have a commitment for 13, but they do that with almost every show. They give them a half season commitment, and then they'll pull something if it doesn't. If it doesn't go well, they'll pull it in place. That they're like each network has like three or four shows lined up that that they've already accepted that they're producing that they'll go ahead and replace with.
Well, Con had mentioned that some Big Mouth is complaining about that when that chick put her hands in the grinder, whatever that thing was, the garbage disposal, her fingers were bent out of shape, and some Big Mouth was complaining.
Yeah,
was
Emerson suing NBC because of. I guess there's a scene where they show her hand go in the garbage disposal.
Oh, it's an Emerson disposal.
Yeah. So they're suing him because it shows bad light that if someone sticks their hand in a garbage disposal, well, obviously, who's stupid enough to stick their hand in the garbage disposal anyways?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
What I'm surprised about is the show does have a few gruesome scenes, and it's in the middle time slot. So I get it at 8 o'clock, and some people get it at 9, but it's not... the later slot, but in last night's episode, you get to see kind of the aftermath of the Holly Larder character, the woman whose reflection comes alive,
all
the people. So you get to see a little bit of the aftermath of that. It's a little bit gruesome, and then in some of the future scenes, and well, actually, I guess in some of the other scenes, there you see some pretty gruesome murders going on. There's apparently one of the people that has these powers is not necessarily a good guy. So,
And then, what else do you have? Well, they said Matt Lanter from Commander Chief is going to join Heroes, right?
Yeah, he actually showed up last night. That was a show with Gina Davis, essentially, Hillary, the first woman president. And he was one of the stars of that, but I was kind of surprised to see him over there. But he was a football player, but I think he's going to be a boyfriend of the cheerleader character.
Oh, well, she's very hot to look at, so that'd be nice. Always can't have too many blondes running around on TV. And then what about Iron? You said now Iron Man, I heard that on CNN, that Robert Downey Jr. is going to play Tony Stark.
What are they
thinking?
Big casting is there. Well, if you think about it, if you know about the Iron Man character, Iron Man is kind of rare in the comic book world. He's a very rich man who is also a recovering addict. a blatant alcoholic and serious drug problems in the past, and trying to balance that out with being a superhero.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess who else better to play than a real-life star who's got drugs and alcohol problems like Robert Downey Jr., huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's definitely gone through some of that.
Huh.
That's probably pretty good casting.
Yeah, and I also have Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I guess he played in Grey's Anatomy as Denny.
Right, he was in Grey's Anatomy last season. He played Denny Ducat. He was a character that was kind of on the show throughout the season. He was a heart transplant patient, but he became the love interest of Katherine Heigl. And it was a real build-up. In the final episode, he died. He got the heart transplant, and he didn't make it.
Oh.
But the actor was also the star of Supernatural over on the CW. He was one of the three main characters there.
Oh.
It was kind of back and forth last season. A lot of people rooting for one character or the other to die. I mean, of course, Grey's Anatomy is like 20 million viewers. But
and did he get killed?
Supernatural, like 5 million. But it was kind of interesting. In the second episode of Grey's Anatomy last week, they were mourning his death. It really affected a couple of the characters. And so on one channel, they're mourning his death over on Supernatural and the CW at the same time.
Huh.
Starts out within a hospital bed, and he dies.
Uh-oh.
So they're mourning him on one channel, and he's dying on the other. So kind of interesting.
Well, he'll be nominated for an Emmy now, probably, huh?
Yeah, well, last season, the guy actually had three parts in three shows at the same time. He was flying back and forth between Vancouver and L.A. almost on a weekly basis.
Well, good for him.
Playing Weeds. Over on, I think, Showtime.
Huh. Now, what about the next one? Was Young Onyx?
Right. That's kind of a departure. That's something we are doing this week with Media Boulevard Magazine. It's a rap group, and we normally don't get into that kind of music. But kind of an interesting story there. There's a guy named Fredro Starr who was a member of Onyx in the early '90s. They were kind of a really hardcore rap group that came basically out of nowhere. Jam Master Jay, the guy from Run DMC that was killed a few years ago, discovered them. And they went platinum very quickly. Their debut album came out, and within a month it sold enough to go platinum. And then after that they kind of died off. But they've got a new project. It's Fredro, who's also an actor. He's been in Blade and Save the Last Dance. And he's a guy that plays a lot of smaller parts that you definitely recognize if you saw him.
Hmm.
But he's got a new project. He's got a new group of kids. One of the kids is actually the son of one of the original members, but he's kind of mentoring them and releasing this, or created this new group called Young Onyx, and they just came out with their first album a few, I think on 9/11 actually the album was released.
Oh.
So it's just kind of an interesting story. You see that a lot in the rap. You see Jam Master Jay kind of mentored Fredro and the Onyx group when they were young kids.
Hmm.
Now they're kind of doing that for another group, and it's another really hardcore rap group, but you probably really couldn't play the music on the station because it's they're definitely parental advisory.
No, we got like too many young people listening. But we wish them luck, and it's in the Media Boulevard magazine, right? The interview.
Yeah, it's going to be there tomorrow, I think.
Very cool. And then on television, you said the CW, if it's in trouble, I guess the viewership is down from last season, huh?
Well, yeah, the CW was supposed to combine the best of the WB and the UPN, and across the board, every show that's airing so far is doing significantly worse than it did on other networks last year.
Hmm.
I'm not really sure if that's... I know when I was looking for it, at first it was hard to find. I really couldn't even find anything on the internet or on the local TV station. The WB channel I used to have just disappeared.
Hmm.
It was finally a UPN, a small UPN network in another city about 50 miles from here. That's the channel that they took over. So I don't know if that's part of it or what, but they're definitely down across the board.
Yeah, I know they. I know that in Vegas they swapped the stations, and then you kind of had to look around, and some of the shows weren't on yet because they're airing shows on the old channels because they had commitments, and now they're bringing the shows, the new ones on eventually. It's just like, what's going on here? Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, definitely hard to find.
Yeah. Now
their pilot, their one new show. They have the combined WB and UPN, but they have the one new show, Runaway, which. Just abysmal ratings. It even dropped. It opened with just over 2 million. I think it was on Tuesdays. Or no, it's on Monday night. Last night it had about 1.5 million. So, that is bad for even for cable TV.
Yeah. Now, Smallville, is that back on yet?
Yeah, Smallville started last week. They have a Smallville Supernatural Hour, so those two shows started.
Yeah.
They actually did some interesting stuff. To be honest, I think Smallville's kind of maybe past its prime. It's just going to keep doing the same stories over and over, it looks like.
Well, you hit your nose. They did kind of they did a nod to Superman 2 with Zod, right?
Right, right. The bad guy, General Zod, from the Chris Reeves movie. And he was in the season Ender last year. And they actually kind of throughout the episode had a lot of nods to Chris Reeves stuff. There's a classic scene in the Superman movie where General Zod has defeated Superman, and there's a line, "Kneel before Zod," and they kind of took that line again. But then the Superman character kind of defeated Zod, and you see this spirit. He'd actually possessed the body of Lex Luthor, and you see the spirit coming out. It was the CGI, like, demon or whatever, flying out of Lex Luthor. And actually, that CGI was Terrence Stamp, the guy that played Zod in the original movie.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, also plays the voice of Jor-El, Clark's father on Smallville.
Ah, well, that's a nice little nod towards the original movies. Very good.
Yeah, another thing that came up with Smallville, they've added another major character for the Superman mythology this year, Jimmy Olsen, the reporter best friend. But the actor playing him, I saw him come on, and I hadn't actually read anything on the internet. I saw him come on, and it's, you see the guy, and it looks exactly like Iceman from the X-Men movies, the Bobby Drake character, who's one of the main characters in the X-Men movies. But it turns out it's his identical twin.
Oh. Huh. Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And then what else? You also have your Supernatural kept 75% of Smallville's audience, so that's pretty good. It means the viewers are sticking with both of those shows, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and the numbers are low. They're kind of in the 6 million, 5-6 million range, kind of, I guess, equivalent to Sci-Fi. They were a bit better last year.
Hmm.
But it is good. Those two shows are, that's kind of the powerhouse on the network.
Yeah, that's I think the lifeblood of that network's depending on those two shows, you know.
Yeah, and, I definitely think that's right.
And the popularity of those guys on those two shows. You got, what's his name, Tom Welling, and the other two on Supernatural. So you got...
Right,
you got
Padalecki and Jensen Ackles.
Yeah, you got to hope those two stay popular or the ratings are going to go into the tank, you know?
Yeah, and I think, they're very popular. They have a very devoted audience. Maybe not a big audience, but a very devoted fan base.
Now, when I mentioned about somebody's asking about Jericho, I thought it was outstanding. I'm on their website now, and that Ashley Scott is got to be one of the more attractive women on television. You know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
She plays Emily Sullivan. But I last week's episode was outstanding. Finally, the rain was starting to fall, and he went to some of the town people went down into that mine shaft where it was, and they blew it up, so they got covered up in the shaft, right?
Right.
And then some of the townspeople are in the city in a storm shelter, right? And then the lead character, what's his name? He went to save the chick, and they went down into the storm cellar as the program is, Jake Green, he went down into the storm cellar as the program is going off the air, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so go ahead.
I was just going to say, Jericho is actually doing very well in the ratings. It's actually improving from, one thing they're doing that I hadn't really paid attention to before, and I kind of figured out why they're doing this. They're giving ratings in half-hour increments in the Nielsen this year. And the reason they're doing that is anytime there's a 30-minute comedy up against a drama show, they want to track whether people switch over to the 30-minute segment. But so far, every 30 minutes that Jericho has been on, it's increased viewers, and it actually increased by 6% last week. Now, again, remember earlier I was mentioning that kind of rule of thumb that a second episode of a show, it's normally expected it'll drop 15%.
Correct.
This one increased 6%.
Yeah.
So that means that people probably saw Jericho in one of the repeats. Every network is repeating the shows they're really trying to push, two and three times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jericho, I think, had a repeat on the following day and then again on Saturday.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
Repeats.
Wow. And somebody's in the chat room, Invincor, is asking about the Doctor Who ratings from Friday. Do you have any Doctor Who ratings?
No, we don't, actually.
No.
Conan will have those.
Yeah, I hope so. It's getting harder and harder to find these ratings from the sci-fi network. But
I have not found the sci-fi ratings. I've got probably seven or eight sources for the other networks, including Nielsen directly.
Yeah.
But,
and actually, the chick, Ashley Scott, she was also in the Birds of Prey series on the WB. That's the kind of a... spinoff of Batman. She was the blonde in that show. But I mean,
yeah,
she was, She was the Black Canary. Yeah, that's right. And she was in Dark Angel. And her film credits include Strange Wilderness, American Standard, Into the Blue, SWAT, and AI. She was raised in Charleston, South Carolina, and currently lives in L.A. If they're, oh, forget her now. She's she got a husband, so screw her, bitch.
So with the the addition of you got the one guy that's in Prison Break now, Fichtner, and the guy that just. I didn't know who this guy was going to be on. I just was shocked. That,
Jericho?
The guy that's on Vanish now.
Oh.
What's his name?
Cyprian.
Can we just put to rest that Invasion is done? It didn't. Yeah. No one's going to bring it back.
Yeah, Invasion's finished, right? There's no way they're going to bring that show back, huh?
Yeah, I'd say at this point it's pretty unlikely. Almost the entire cast has gone elsewhere at this point. Tyler Levine is going to be in something. I can't remember. He was the younger brother. He's casting something. He's going to start in a couple of weeks. But the two leads are gone now.
Well, it's like Arrested Development. That's never going to come back now either because they're all moving on to different things, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Now, what about the big winners of the week? Ugly Betty. How in the world can that show be doing very well? That show's nasty.
I have no idea. I actually had to watch it.
Oh.
It hit so well. And to me, it's just, I don't see anything there, but it hit big. It hit, I think, 16 million viewers.
Holy cow. You're kidding me.
You know what? What is it on? What channel's on?
ABC.
ABC, I believe, yeah.
I don't know.
I was going to say, if it was on CBS, I know why.
Oh.
Because all the old folks watch CBS, and, you know, old folks have nothing to do, so they're going to sit there and watch TV.
But ABC, I don't know. I mean,
is it a show for old folks?
No. It's a chick. It's a young chick. She works in a fashion house or something like that. She's a young assistant, right?
Yeah, it's kind of an ugly duckling.
Yeah.
Working with all the models and stars and everything. It's on ABC right before Grey's Anatomy.
Before Grey's Anatomy?
Right.
Oh, well, that's why. People turn a TV and they go away for an hour and they get ready for Grey's Anatomy. That's what that's all about. Huh?
Well, it's on the first hour of prime time right before Grey's Anatomy. So that could account for some of the later half viewing, but it definitely did well. We'll see if it keeps up. I don't understand that, but, you know, congratulations to them for that.
And I see CSI actually defeated Grey's Anatomy in the second week of their head-to-head battle.
Barely, but they both hit over 23 million.
Wow.
So, that's pretty big.
Yeah. And we talked about Jericho did well in the ratings. And now the 9, that's on, when's that on? Tonight?
Tomorrow night. Lost in the 9.
The
9 comes on right after Lost, and they both start up tomorrow night. So.
Lost in the 9. The Lost 9 or the 9 Lost?
The Lost. Nine.
I'm not going to watch that 9. It seems, I don't know. I don't like the premise is like, oh my God, I want to sit through this every week. You know what I mean?
I'd want to watch it, but, you know, I'm already watching like
eight shows
a week as it is. I don't have time to watch another one.
Between all the politics shows and Doctor Who and Galactica, I got my VCR. It's pretty well full.
Right. One other show that's kind of an interesting story that something that bears watching, and that's the Sunset 60. Yeah, that was touted before the season started as the best show. It was going to be the best show of the year.
Studio 60?
Yeah, now like I mentioned, every half hour that Jericho's been on, every half hour segment it's been on has increased its viewership over the past. Sunset 60 has lost every half hour.
Absolutely. They deserve to get that show canceled.
This week's episodes were down to over, I think it was just over 9 million. They were actually under 10 million.
People
are already talking about 6 Degrees. It's been losing as well. That's the other one that's, can't remember what network, but it's one of the ones that's kind of the dog, and it's losing every week.
Yeah,
and it's down to about 10 million. People are already talking about it being in trouble, but it's such a 60 that they're already actually falling below that.
No, 6 Degrees, that's on ABC as well. I don't like that one either. Studio 60, I already said I don't like Bradley Whitford, and he's got ego but the size of the MGM. And then the other one, I'm sick of him too, with the Matthew Perry from Friends. Yeah, I'm sorry. And Amanda Peet, she comes across phony as well. I mean, the acting's got to be believable to drag pull me in. You know, just something about her. She was on something else, Jack and Jill or something like that. Wasn't she on Jack and Jill?
Oh.
on WB or something like that, and I don't like her acting back then either. And Whitford just turns me off. I just don't like him. That show deserves to get canceled. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just don't like it.
Not arguing there.
No.
But, we should probably see some decisions soon. You can probably look for Kidnapped. Actually, that was another thing that happened this weekend that was interesting. I think Bob Wright is the CEO of NBC.
Mm.
In a press conference, he was talking about how great Heroes was doing for the network and how happy they were with it.
Well,
that kind of also threw away that, Kidnapped, we're pretty disappointed there.
Uh-oh, well.
So that's kind of the death knell. So Kidnapped and Runaway are probably two to watch to get the axe here sometime soon.
And, of course, big week at the movies. Ashton Kutcher cleaned up both of his movies, huh?
Right. The two biggest movies of last week. And I didn't even realize this last week that he was the star of that animated opening season. But that was a big movie of the weekend, the kids' movie, essentially. So that brought in about $30 million. And then The Guardians, the Coast Guard movie that he was one of the stars in, brought in, that was the second movie, and brought in quite a bit less than that. But Jackass 2 is still up there in the running. So it's kind of, I don't know what that says when your biggest movie is animated kids film and Jackass.
Mm.
I mean, those are in the top three.
Interesting. Down it goes. Down it goes in the toilet, right?
Yeah. And I guess, like to see Ashton Kutcher as an animated rodent, I think is what he is, and it's more than as a person. So.
Oh.
The animated movie did much better.
Really? And then opening this week, he says The Departed?
Right. Now, that's another one of these with just the super cast in it. Just everybody that's anybody, really. First off, it's directed by Martin Scorsese, but it's got Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg, mm-hmm. Jack Nicholson, Alec Baldwin, and Martin Sheen.
That's going to clean up. I don't know how much money they're going to make because I look at all these names. They got to be soaking up a lot of money for the for their acting fees, huh?
Right. Last time we really saw it was Ocean's 11, or Ocean's 12, and I guess the sequel to that with the kind of the supercast. But yeah, those didn't really hit that big, even with all that talent. But another one.
Down it goes. You may mistake him. That's that soundbite. I'm sorry. And then what about the Employee of the Month? That's starting with Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, that's another, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 movies. Hey, you like that sound. I should have picked that up before.
Dane Cook's movie with Jessica, right?
Right.
I saw her Friday on Leno with Bill O'Reilly, of all people. That was quite a pairing on that couch. But did you see that?
No, I missed that.
Yeah. And actually, Giorgio was saying that if you guys are still interested, Doctor Who is doing a 9.14 in the rating. That's impossible on cable. That's impossible.
I don't think Monday Night Football does a 9.1.
Unless that's 9.14 in the UK, but I don't see how that could possibly be, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty high.
There you go. Yep, BBC, yes. BBC, 9.14 million. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. But actually, I don't think it's airing in the UK right now, is it?
Oh, that just wrapped. They just ended the second season there, but
yeah, the end of the second season a few months ago, like 2 or 3 months ago. So
yeah,
maybe that was a repeat. I don't know.
And then we got Texas Chainsaw Massacre: The Beginning. Oh,
oh
my
yeah.
God, how many more of those movies are we getting? Same thing with the damned. What's that? The Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13. Come on,
right.
You know, beating that damn franchise to death. How many more of these? The first one wasn't good enough to justify a sequel, and yet now we're getting the second one.
Yeah, so you can expect the party to win the weekend, I think. Unless, I don't know, Jessica Simpson, maybe.
Just put her in a red bikini and they'll clean up at the box office. She would sit there peeling an apple or a banana, and she'll make $20 million off that movie just sitting there.
Well, the idiots once saw Dukes of Hazzard, so.
Oh, yes. I saw it over and over again.
She is good friends with the president. Tries to see him whenever she's in D.C.
Ooh, I'm sure she has. Like I said, get rid of Bush. Can't we please get him somebody in a blue dress? Somebody put her in a damn blue dress. So
there you go.
But anyway, well, Dr. Nate Rangeworth, let you go. Hopefully Koenig is in the wings because he's not in the chat room. But we'll see if he calls in, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
And we'll check out MediaBoulevard.com as well as Media Boulevard Magazine.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, great.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah,
right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. And that was Dr. Nat Ranger, the mad rocket scientist of the program with the horrendous theme song. I hope he doesn't want to use that every week.
Don't worry, I'll make the proper changes.
And hopefully Koenig will be calling in. We can go through Doctor Who. I kind of ran over a little bit with Dr. Nat Ranger because I was concerned that Koenig wasn't going to be able to call in. So if he, we'll give him a couple minutes. If he doesn't call in, maybe we'll have Invincor call in. Let's see. But Invincor is saying, I don't have any Galactica news. Ah, you know what? We're getting hit over the head with Galactica. I'd like to talk to him more about Doctor Who. Anyway, I thought it was pretty good. The two episodes was Christmas Invasion, and the second one was New Earth. So I thought both of them were outstanding. And it's a big week for premieres, so I'm stalling a little bit for Koenig, so hopefully he'll be able to call in. And like I said, in the Life section of USA Today, they talk about Katie Couric slipping to number 3 in the ratings because the CBS Evening News did 7.5 million. Viewers behind NBC's Nightly News with Brian Williams, 8.2. And Brian Williams was on Saturday Night Live. It was hysterical. He was trying out. To take over the spot on Weekend Update, and they fired him. I thought it was funny. Good to see him out of this, you know, straight starch collar of NBC Nightly News. Anyway, they did 8.2 million viewers, and then World News, with Charles Gibson did 7.6 million viewers. So just ahead of Katie Couric. So, and of course they talk about Robert Downey Jr. doing the Iron Man movie, which I cannot see him as Tony Stark, but I thought the rumor was Tom Cruise was going to play Tony Stark. Wonder what happened to that. So, and Giorgio was saying that, thank you, Giorgio, that the Heroes did a 9.2 rating. Yeah, I'm upset because I got to get a new VCR because the damn thing conks out on me. I don't know if it's a timer or something. Every once in a while, but I have so much on that. I have all my political programs I tape, and then I got of course, I got Who, and I have Jericho on, or I have Heroes. There's almost so much I could watch because I work all these hours. And I have to watch my political programs as well. I got to be up to date on everything that's going on. So, and I think Koenig is in the wings. So, we shall. There he comes. Doctor, the Professor Koenig Rules, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. I've been locked in the TARDIS the last 15 minutes.
Oh, you've been stuck in the TARDIS?
Yes.
We were getting concerned. So,
I couldn't. I didn't join the chat.
Oh, yeah. We were wondering.
I was listening to the segment.
Oh, okay. We thought maybe Ron Moore may have came and got you away from the program here.
No, actually, though, the thing is starting to shape up with Ron Moore. It's now just finding a date and a time, but they really want me to interview him, which is cool.
Well, that's nice. That's more than I ever
that's
got.
More, that's more than you've been able to do,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, congratulations.
Well, I don't have the interview lined up yet, but there's been talk about possibly sometime next week. Possibly.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
We'll see. You don't sound optimistic, Sean.
You know what, Koenig, people have been asking for you to drop a huge Battlestar Galactica spoiler.
I did drop a huge Battlestar Galactica spoiler last week.
We want a no-holds-barred spoiler.
In other words, who exactly gets killed?
No.
Ron Moore is not going to be...
Oh, would that be... that'd be too bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't be trying to get you in trouble with them, would I?
Yes. Not even going to do this in a weak moment.
No, I'm kidding. Good for you.
But I can say this, leak this out.
Yes.
It's one of the primary cast.
Oh, very good.
All right.
Now, how about...
See?
Yeah, I saw Battlestar Galactica had a little write-up in the Soap Opera Digest. I saw that at work the other day. I don't know what pages.
You read the Soap Opera Digest at work?
No, in the lunchroom. They have all the magazines. They have Inquirer, Soap Opera Digest, The Time, and all that, Newsweek. Uh-huh. And I saw my Battlestar Galactica. I paged through it. There's a little spoiler. Something's coming, I guess. They say it's soap opera-ish, something involving Starbuck.
Well, the thing is, Ron Moore had a recent interview, and he basically said some of our dearest friends are going to, well, sort of bite the dust.
Uh-oh.
I mean, so it's going to be significant. That's all I gotta say. Uh-huh. I'm not saying it's Starbuck. I'm not saying it's anyone at this point.
Really?
Really?
Interesting. Really? Now, Doctor Who. Everybody's Doctor Who. Doctor Who. I thought Christmas Invasion was outstanding.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people like Christmas Invasion, but New Earth was sort of.
Yeah, Khan was saying the same. It's kind of lame. Yeah, it was. It was kind of. You know, can't they come up with somebody new? You know, they trotted out Cassandra,
right, an old villain from season one, right?
And they I don't know how. You know, they explained it. Oh, that was the front of me. Now it's the back of me. And all, and Rose says, "You're talking out of your ass now." You know, like, oh, well, they did show the thing getting, you know, shredded, you know, blown up. I mean, that was kind of.
So it didn't really make much sense.
No,
that they were able
it didn't.
To.
Well, like I said, the only best part about that show. Was seen. Yes, Billie Piper had her, you know, she showed some cleavage.
She's
that show.
Beautiful young lady.
Well, really. She never shows cleavage.
She
but
doesn't.
This show, she did, which
they put
was
that,
nice.
She put that thing down her cleavage.
That was nice.
She's like, woo. We're like, whoa.
But they had some good segments there with the cat people, the nurses that were cat people. Those were good effects. And then the sort of guys that they were growing, the human life forms that they were growing with all the diseases, like the zombies. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the whole, that was okay, but then the way they, like, the whole concept of how they cured themselves was just totally, like, ridiculous.
Yeah. Well,
that made no sense.
Yeah, the doctor was an alien, so he thought if he throws all the viruses in his shower or something.
Yeah, that was so, let me still touch you and you're all fine. Come on. That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird plot device to save the day.
It was.
I would like to know if Billy Piper is actually that conservative.
Ooh. I don't think so, huh? What do you think?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. But David Tennant, I really like.
Is
he good or what?
No, I don't like him.
Well,
I watch one episode. I watch actually two episodes now, and I don't know.
You don't like David Tennant?
I don't know. I'm still kind of skeptical.
I'm getting into him. He's a little more goofy.
He is goofy, but
remember when he had the female in him?
Oh yeah, that was some of the like the comic elements are a little more funnier than it was with Eccleston, and then the what was the one thing Rose with Cassandra was in her kissed the doctor and he speaks with a higher pitched voice, that was funny and everything. He's grown on me, you know, especially like in the first episode in the Christmas Invasion when Jackie's like, "Who's this?" And she goes, "It's the doctor." You know, not the doctor I know. Is you know, and you know, he's like, she's even coming around to liking the doctor now because it's the new doctor.
Oh yeah, he's hugging Jackie and everything by the end of that episode,
and hugging Ricky and everything, and then they go to Jackie's apartment and they have him in bed and Rose gets the stethoscope and both of the hearts are beating and Jackie goes, "That's ridiculous, two hearts," and then Jackie goes, "I wonder what else he's got two of," looking down at him thinking his crotch. Yeah, I thought that was funny. Right?
Yes, it was funny.
Yeah,
it
and really Mickey was. Had some good scenes. I like how the Santas were out to get Rose.
Right. And the killer Christmas trees.
Oh, yeah. How about the killer Christmas tree?
Yes.
Yeah. and the mother thought it was from Rose, and the tree came to life. I thought it was hilarious. It was serious, but it was like funny as hell seeing that tree come to life and wreck her apartment. What about the neighbors think? There's always some kind of hell breaking loose in that apartment of Jackie's.
Yeah, we remember with World War III with the
Slitheen
aliens.
Yeah, they trashed her place.
Yes, I know. They keep crashing her place.
She might, what the hell is going
on
over there?
Is this new season going to have those farting aliens?
Are the Slitheen coming back?
The Slitheen, let me see. As far as I know, and I've seen over half of season two, I haven't seen the Slitheen.
Oh, well, what about the Daleks?
Cybermen.
Oh, Cybermen, what about the Daleks?
Yes.
Ooh.
They'll be back, but I'm not going to say when exactly they'll be back, but the Daleks will be back.
Wow. They even had a nice comment. They got mentioned in the second. Uh-oh. Here they come. Here they come. But
who got mentioned?
Yeah. And it, uh-oh. And then they brought in that woman. And she's now the prime minister.
The prime minister, yeah.
Yeah, she did a good job as that. And she even says, where's my doctor and all that. And I like how Rose, they get Rose back to their ship, these aliens. And she gives all the whole, by the proclamation of so-and-so, and certified by the Daleks and everybody else. I thought that was funny, So she basically went through all the... Excuse me, all the villains they had in the first season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but I liked it.
And how about the Doctor regenerating a hand?
Oh, yeah, it was very Star Wars-ish. Yes, so they cut off the sword. They cut off his hand, and he grew, because I'm still within 12 hours of my regeneration, I could grow another hand.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a new one for the regeneration.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've never done that before with the regeneration where you lost a limb.
Well, I guess they want to do some kind of nod to Star Wars with the sword fighting or something. Yeah.
Right.
And what else? They were about to kill Rose, and then Dawson, they can understand what they're saying because they're speaking English, and she realizes the TARDIS is doing that. And that meant the Doctor was all right then, huh?
Yes, because
Jackie had dropped the thermos, Mickey had dropped the thermos of tea, and the tea dripped down into the TARDIS, right?
That's right, and it reactivated the circuits.
Yeah. And what else? Oh, and Vinsor. Yeah. He's saying, did you like her dig at our president, the prime minister? Yeah, about Washington's wanting to do something. Oh, no, we want him starting another war or something like that. Hmm. That was pretty good. A little shot at Bush.
Yep.
Even Doctor Who is taking shots at Bush.
Well, they weapons of mass destruction in with the Slovene.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yes. Mm. Yes.
And I always like the drop. They mentioned Torchwood a couple times.
Yes. They're going to be mentioning Torchwood in practically every episode.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
And then
did I tell you that they're also going to have a third series with Sarah Jane?
Oh,
the new adventures of Sarah Jane.
Sarah Jane.
It's going to be Sarah Jane Smith, one of the assistants from the John Pertwee, Tom Baker era.
Hmm.
And she shows up. She shows up, yes, in either episode 2 or episode 3 of this new season.
Refresh my memory.
Yes.
Remember the whole thing with the whole Bad Wolf thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Is that reoccurring this year or no?
No, the Bad Wolf was season 1. Torchwood is going to be the reference to.
I see, but they kind of revealed what it was, didn't they?
Yeah, it was Rose.
Right, and Torchwood, it's just in preparation for the new series to premiere in the spring.
Well, the Torchwood.
Wait, I thought that was the. Then what was it? No? Okay.
Torchwood took out that ship.
Yeah,
right.
What was that?
Yeah.
They've gotten Captain Jack.
Yeah,
Harkness has gotten alien technology.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From that ship. Ship that crashed into the London Channel.
Yeah, I got
remember?
You. Yeah, I remember.
So they got the technology, and he used that to blow up that ship. And then the Doctor was furious at, what's her name, Harriet Jones. And then...
Was that the same actress that played in the first season?
Yeah. Yeah, she looked different.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah. And then he gets mad at her, and he goes, They struck first. They attacked my people. They killed those two, and she had to blow up that ship, huh?
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So I thought it was very good. I thought it was an outstanding episode. I liked it. It's set the stage for the Doctor coming back and everything, and Rose leaves with him and everything else. So
there's a lot more friendlier feelings between Rose and the Doctor, and between the Doctor and the humans. It seems like he really likes the humans. And there is one two-parter that I have yet to see the two-parter of, where they're talking about, because they think the TARDIS is destroyed, about living together.
Oh.
The Doctor and Rose. And
wow.
So it's sort of like you would never see that in the old Doctor Who, where they're talking about living together in one place. So.
Yeah. Now, Vinsor is saying that Torchwood, the series, will debut on the BBC in about 3 weeks.
Oh, in 3 weeks.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll probably get it then. If Battlestar is going 20 weeks and Who ends in 13 weeks, my guess is we might get Torchwood maybe in spring or summer. Maybe.
And yeah, Inventor is also saying Scully that what Sci-Fi is showing is the 28th season of Doctor Who.
The 28th, right, because 20. There were 26 seasons with the old Doctor, and now there's two seasons with the new Doctor.
Well, there's some people are up in arms over Stargate claiming they're the longest-running sci-fi show in the history of the world.
Stargate's the longest-running sci-fi series in America.
Yeah.
But Doctor Who is the longest-running sci-fi series.
In the world.
Yes. But not as many people know about Doctor Who as they do Stargate.
Now, the second episode was New Earth, and they open it with Rose saying goodbye to her mother and Mickey, and they take off, and they land 5 billion years in the future, and it's New York City, which is kind of odd-looking New York City, and we go through a whole, you know, Lady Cassandra's back and everything. Another thing that probably will thread through the season is that thing that's in that, the Doctor gets called to go see, what you call that thing? The face of what? The face of...
The face of... What is that? What is that? The face of... that big face that's supposedly dying. What?
The face of God.
I bet you Invincer knows. The face of...
The face of God.
The face of God.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Whatever it is. And then at the end of the episode he's better, I guess, because he's been somewhat regenerated by the whatever the Doctor did, I guess, somehow, huh?
I think so. It was a sort of disjointed episode. At one point I thought Night of the Living Dead, they were trying to pay tribute to that because it looked like they were zombies, and you know, one cut and the people would get infected too. So it's got elements of horror in it, this season of Doctor Who. Like last season, remember, with the child, are you my mummy?
Yeah, are you my mummy?
I mean, that was pretty good.
The face of Bo going to...
The face of Bo, right?
Yeah, so the face of Bo...
Bose, B-O-S-E?
B-O-E.
Don't they do those stereo things?
But then Bose, it's the radio. and then he said, we'll meet for a third and final time, and then he'll reveal his secret. Whatever that is, huh?
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling maybe it'll be the next Doctor. I have a feeling that the Master is going to be introduced in season 3. The new season 3. They're going to have some evil Time Lords or one evil Time Lord. They just have to do that because if the Daleks are still alive, then some of the Time Lords had to survive too.
And I liked how the scene where the Doctor and Rose go down that rope, down that elevator shaft and everything. That's a pretty cool scene there.
By the way, they are going to be releasing in Britain, so I guess we're going to get it too. The music of Doctor Who.
For
season one. I'm not sure about season two, but that's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, and Vince was saying that the face of Bo is supposed to return in the 2007 season.
2007, well, that's next season, right?
Yeah, so...
Okay. With Tennant and his new assistant.
Yes.
Which you're still wondering audiences are going to take to an African-American.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody knows I'm not a racist at all, but
But you're right, but I think in Britain, you know, I mean, Rose's boyfriend is African-American. Mm. I think, you know, in Britain, they're much more accepting of something like that than in America.
Yeah, well, let's hope so, because I really...
We had Teal'c in Stargate, right?
Teal'c? Well, Teal'c, yeah, but
in
he...
In Stargate Atlantis, we had...
She's going to be...
That gruff native, you know, what's his name? You know.
Which one?
The gruff native in Stargate Atlantis, who's also African American.
Oh, what's this? I know what you're talking about.
And the girl too.
Doctor Who, a girl, she'll be the co-star. She'll be the main character.
It's about time.
I don't know.
They do have an African American.
Yeah. We'll see. I hope so. I hope we're ready for that. But I don't know.
But Battlestar Galactica this Friday, right?
We're looking forward to that. Absolutely.
Two hours. Battlestar Galactica.
Yes. And the story so far was on USA last night, and so it should be exciting. Let's hope the ratings are good for the season 3 premiere. Huh?
Oh yeah, definitely. In fact, Ron Moore was mentioning that he's trying to develop the arc for the first 10 stories for season 4.
Oh, wow.
So even though season 4 hasn't been picked up, for them to even start talking about that, even before season three airs means that there's some high hopes that season three will get the ratings enough that there will be a season four.
Interesting. Oh, Koenig, we're at the end of the program.
So do I have to go back in the charting?
Yes,
now?
Yes. Back you go. We'll bring you on next week so we can review Galactica.
Okay.
All right.
I will review Galactica next week.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Off he goes. Professor Koenig rules. And thank you, everybody, for being on the program. Thank Joey from Donkey Central and as well as Donkey Digest. Yeah.